I won't take too long because I know all of us are, we're hungry. We keep hearing about the process, chanting, dancing, and feasting. And you keep hearing about the feasting, but as the afternoon draws on, you really cling on to that word. I'd like to thank everyone very much for organizing this program. I'm especially endeared to my godbrothers and my godsisters for coming, encouraging me. GBC regulations are you're only supposed to have one Vyasa Puja, but really I do it for all of you because I know how much I like to glorify my spiritual master. It's my favorite day of the year, Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. So I know that. I did one in Ukraine. I did two in Russia. But they were a little easier because there weren't any godbrothers there. And it's really embarrassing for me to sit in front of my godbrothers who I don't consider to be equal, but to be advanced, much more advanced than me. I honestly feel like that. So it was very painful. But there's a common saying, no pain, no gain. I often say at such programs as this that these eulogies, when I hear them, I think to myself, yes, that's the person I'd like to be. Especially when I was hearing Giriwar Swami, I was thinking, who's he talking about? I'd like to be like that person. I remember when I was a new devotee, Petit Pavana Prabhu, whose offering was read by one brahmachari, one devotee there, he sent that offering from Bulgaria. He's my senior godbrother. He was there a long time before I joined the movement. He came to my room one time and he said, oh, I just heard Prabhupada say a nice thing. I heard of Prabhupada saying that Prabhupada said, in the beginning, Krishna sent me a few good men. So at that time, I was also thinking, I want to be one of those men. I'd like to be one of those men. I'd like to be an effective instrument in the hands of my spiritual master who has very big desires. Just like one of our acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said he would not be satisfied, he would not rest, he would not be still until what? All the 14 worlds were chanting Hare Krishna. So these are the dreams of the acharyas and we're their servants. So to accomplish that, we have to be effective instruments in the hands of our spiritual teachers to fulfill their desires. Actually, as disciples of our gurus, we only consider ourselves instruments to fulfill their goodwill because they only desire goodwill for the people of this world. It's our good fortune if we can assist them in any way. Krishna says to Arjuna in the epic Bhagavad Gita, Nimitta matram bhava savyasachim. My dear Savyasachi, be but an instrument in the fight. So we want to be sharp instruments in the hands of Guru and Krishna, not dull. We don't want to be dull-headed disciples. Anyone who works in the kitchen, they know the frustration of having to cut the sabjis with a dull knife. So I always look forward to this. Not because I get to sit on a big seat. Before I came in, Chaturatme warned me. He said, it looks like King Arthur's seat. I don't want to sit here. I'm already sitting with all of you. And all the praise and glorifications and the gifts. And that's not really what I relish about this day. I relish this day because I get to hear from my disciples, and by hearing I can understand what progress they're making in Krishna consciousness. And I consider that as my most important service to Srila Prabhupada, is my helping my disciples on the path back home, back to Godhead. I mean, many devotees were saying things like, I'm a very active preacher, and I go all over the world, and there's big programs, but what are the programs for? The programs are to touch the hearts of the conditioned souls and begin them on the path of Krishna consciousness. So the real work is actually when people come into the fold and we help inspire them and train them and encourage them to become who they are. Jivasupoya Krishnara Nityadas. Who are we? Really, you go through all the layers. American, black, white, yellow, boy, girl, businessman, scholar. It's like going through the onion. The onion has so many layers. You take this layer off, that layer off. You know, when you get to the essence of who we really are, who are we? We're not these bodies. We have no designations that go along with these bodies. We're just the eternal servants of Krishna. So to help someone come to that realization, yayatma shupashitati, Bhagavatam says, sabhaipumsham paradharmo yato bhaktir doksaje haitukiyapati ata yayatma shupashitati. Very clearly, the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which one can attain to the loving devotional service of the Lord, Krishna. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. And I've said it many times, my favorite activity in Krishna consciousness is after all the work's done, setting up the big festivals, advertising them, you know, all the work we go through, to sit at the entrance to our festival and watch people walk in. For me, that's just so, just look at their faces when they come in. They come into this Vaikuntha bubble, and they're just, their whole demeanor, their whole nature just lights up and changes and like that. So this is the day, the Vyasa Puja, that I can see that progress in my disciples. Prabhupada said you can understand someone's advancement when they speak. One doesn't have to be a good speaker, quote unquote, doesn't have to be trained in public speaking. No. Devotees speak from the heart, they're natural poets, and they speak with love, and it's so enlivening to hear your offerings. So inspiring. How do we know a disciple is making progress? When we see that they're enthusiastic in their loving relationships with others. When we see how eager they are for kirtan, and when they speak their realizations. So inspiring, just like our little Omika. She's not so little anymore. I used to call her my littlest disciple. Now she's a big girl. She's a young lady. She's a young woman. But I haven't seen her in maybe 1 or 2 years. I don't know. And I worry about her. You know, as spiritual masters, we worry about our disciples because we know the potency of this material world. She lives in the Big Apple, Sin City, and she's, you know, a young, beautiful girl, and she goes to a public school. Of course, I trust her. She's a devotee, but then when she comes, and yesterday I was, Badahari Prabhu was leading the most heavenly kirtan, and I was looking around the room, and there was Omika with her eyes closed, her head swaying back and forth, her arms raised to the heaven, chanting like I'd like to chant. She'd just given herself 100% to the chanting, and I was thinking, that girl's okay. Or, she's doing fine. And when I said to little Ayush yesterday, you know, he's a kid. He's still a kid. He's kind of in between a teenager and a kid. They're called tweenies or something. I don't know. He's a kid. So I said, Ayush, we spent some times together, you know, you remember, in India, and I'd like you to speak tomorrow at the Vyasa Puja. You speak some words of glorification for your spiritual master in front of 300 people. Can you do that? Now you ask any kid if they can go in front of 500 people and speak, they get stage fright, they go white. But his eyes lit up, And a smile came across his face, and he gave me a hug. Because he's a tweenie, you can do it when you're that little disciple that age. He hugged me and he said, "Of course, Guru Maharaj." And I was thinking, oh, it's nice, he's making spiritual advancement. Or little shy Radhika, David Darshana's daughter. We were in the car, she was mentioning how we're talking, and she's doing so well at school, and she chants, and she has deities. And I said, "Radhika, how old are you?" She said, 10. I said, "I want you to speak at the Vyasa Puja tomorrow." She said, "Oh, yes." And you heard what a wonderful offering like this. The natural stage fright of a 10-year-old kid speaking was vanished by the willingness to please her spiritual master. So like this, Vyasa Puja is an opportunity for me to check the progress of my spiritual children. A father naturally likes to see his children grow. When I was a boy, my sisters here, Annie, and my brother Brij Kumar, we used to go to our grandparents every summer, Christy and John Wiggins. And our grandfather, he had this thing that every time we'd come, we'd have to stand up against the wall, and he would mark how much we'd grown. And my grandmother would come in. It was a big thing for them. I would say, "Come on, I'm wasting my time. I want to go swimming. I want to play, go horseback. Now stand here." And if I could stretch up, you know, high enough to look like I'd grown, they'd let me go. They were so proud of the fact, I couldn't figure it out. Of course, that's a mundane concept, the body, but still, it was some loving thing there. So we also, as spiritual fathers, we like to see our children grow in Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada, there's a famous picture of Prabhupada at Sally Agarwal's house. 1965, I think it was, and she had her son, Brij, was in front of Prabhupada. He was on the carpet. He took his first step. And there's a picture of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's smiling. He's like, "Whoa, Brij, good boy." And it's natural. Prabhupada was the perfect guest. And he appreciated that first step. So as spiritual fathers, on the order of our spiritual father, it's so nice to see you making progress, dancing so enthusiastically, speaking so nicely. Because it's no small thing to make progress in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't take it for granted. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Daivayesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya." It's his warning to all aspiring transcendentalists. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. Why is it difficult to overcome the material nature and go back to the spiritual world? Because the material nature personified, she who is has the thankless task of keeping us in this world until we show our real heart's desire to go back to the spiritual world, personified, she's Maya Devi. And she's very powerful. She's very powerful. Why is she so powerful? She's actually an expansion of Yoga Maya. In the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's described that one day Maya Devi, personified, approached Lord Chaitanya. This is 500 years ago when he was on the planet. And she said, "Lord, I have a problem. I have a complaint. You're Patit Pavana." My godbrother who wrote that nice offering, he's Patit Pavana Das. Who's really Patit Pavana? Who's merciful to the most fallen? Lord Chaitanya. He's even more merciful than Krishna, because Krishna makes some conditions. First, you have to surrender. Sarva dharmam padichaja mamekam saranam braja. Just surrender unto me, I will give you protection. Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't even ask. He just goes out and gives the holy name, chanting and dancing, and people become purified. So he's Patit Pavana, the liver of the most fallen. So Maya Devi said, "Lord, you are delivering everyone, not only on this planet, but in this universe." Kaviraj Goswami mentions that when Lord Chaitanya was here, due to his presence, the whole world went back to Godhead. And then it filled up again, naturally, with conditioned souls. She said, "But I have to stick around. What's going on? Everyone's going back to the spiritual world, but I have to stay here. So Mahaprabhu replied, no, you're also there. You are Yogamaya. You're Yogamaya in the spiritual world, and here you're an expansion. As you are powerful there, you are powerful here. So what are we up against? What is it for her who causes liberated souls in the spiritual world to forget that Krishna is God so that they can enjoy an intimate, loving relationship with him? He's just their friend, their lover, their child. He's God, but the Yogamaya potency causes people to forget he's God, so therefore they can come closer and enjoy a more familiar relationship with him. What is it for her if she can, quote-unquote, bewilder the residents of the spiritual world, to bewilder little people like us in this material world? It's nothing. So if you can overcome her influence, that should be noted. Somebody should be noting it. If you make progress in school, somebody has to mark it down. Who notes it? Your teacher. And you feel so good when she notices, right? You pass that examination perfectly. And she says, you get A+, 5 stars. Thank you, teacher. Somebody has to note. So who is supposed to note, to take notice of the advancement of the disciple? It's the spiritual master. That's his responsibility. That's his duty. We need that encouragement. Just like our Srila Prabhupada. When it came time, when he was recommended for initiation by the local temple, it went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they said, Guru Maharaj, will you initiate Abhay? And he said, yes, I've marked him. I've noted him. He hears nicely. Apparently, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking, our Srila Prabhupada listened very attentively. In fact, Prabhupada mentions how one time there was a lecture to be given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and the person who was making the announcement said there'll also be a pilgrimage to a certain temple that day. And our Prabhupada chose to stay back for the lecture rather than go on the parikrama. He wanted to hear from his spiritual master. One time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, if you want to see Krishna, you hear from me. A sadhu sees by his ears, by hearing. So he marked him, yes. So I have marked that boy. I will grant him my mercy, my blessings. And conversely, the duty of the spiritual master is also to chastise the disciple, either personally or in general lectures, which are actually meant for each and every disciple. Sometimes I'll lecture on a particular point, not thinking of any particular disciple, but after the lecture, somebody comes up and said, how did you know I was having that problem? Were you speaking to me? No, these are all general problems we have in trying to get out of this material world. Lust, anger, greed. We're just addressing the general issues and the process of how to advance. The spiritual master has to push us a little because sometimes we don't make enough effort. We are guilty of complacency. Complacency means to put off for tomorrow what can be done today. We've heard you can go on chanting Hare Krishna for thousands of lifetimes and make a little progress, but if you chant the holy name pure just one time, Hare Krishna, purely, back home, back to Godhead. So we've been chanting many days, many weeks, many months, many years. We're still stuck in Dallas, Texas. Why? Some little complacency there. Not making enough effort. Why would one not make and put enough energy into the practice of Krishna consciousness? Because that's actually why we joined this movement, wholly and solely to go back to Godhead. So how it's ironic that we join, but we may not give our full energy. Like, wait a minute. How is it that one might not give his full energy to the process? We touched on that last night, that Most of us are very busy with the affairs of this world. We have to work. We have to play. Even playing takes time and energy and money. We have bills. We have emails. And often the pressure and lack of time means something has to go. And more often than not, for a neophyte devotee, what he compromises on is his sadhana, not his other affairs. This is the natural tendency of a neophyte devotee. So spiritual master has to remind you, take your medicine. And Prabhupada instructed our GBC like that. GBCs, they have a very weighty responsibility to manage the affairs of this movement. They have to have a vision for the future. They have to keep the tradition of the past. They have to maintain a status quo, and they have to see to the future. It's a very heavy responsibility. Prabhupada entrusted the movement into the hands of the GBC. So many. They meet for I don't know how many days, and they're hours and hours and hours. But one time Prabhupada said, what is the GBC man's most important duty? To travel around his temples and ask the devotees, are you chanting your 16 rounds? Are you following the principles? Are you reading the books like this? Because if we stop taking the medicine, the blood pressure goes up again. Recently, I started taking some medicine for high blood pressure. And I said, after a while, nah, I'm not going to do that. Nah, I never had to do that before. I was fit as a fiddle. This is some misreading or something. You know. I stopped taking it. And I could feel that one night, I could feel the pressure building up in my head. And I did my blood pressure, and woo! I reached into that cabinet, popped the pill. So in the same way, we have the medicine. As Mahaprabhu said, he has brought the medicine of the holy name to cure the disease of material existence. So the job of the spiritual master is to encourage his disciples, chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama. In order to encourage a disciple to chant, the spiritual master has to lecture endlessly. He's always speaking. It's not a problem. It's a brahmana. As the sudra takes pleasure in building the temple with his hands, as the vaishya takes pleasure taking the udder of the cow and squeezing the milk out, as a kshatriya takes pleasure in going to war to protect religious principles. A Brahmin, he just loves to preach about Krishna and everything connected. Not a problem. The spiritual master's main business is speaking, and our main connection with our spiritual master is listening. This is our main connection with our guru. Hearing from him transcendental knowledge, specifically from him. We should hear from all spiritual masters in our Vaishnava tradition and all senior devotees, but there's a special connection between guru and disciple. It's almost as if when you hear your spiritual master say it, you go, ah, now I understand. Now I want to commit myself. In fact, Shastra states that if we hear certain truths from other illustrious souls, it's best that we come back and hear the same knowledge from our spiritual master, because it has a special effect on the heart. So what is the spiritual master speaking about? He's always talking about the futility of material existence. He's reminding his disciples about the goal of life, and he's reminding us of the process. Twaja dujana samsargam, Chanaka Panta says, Bhaja saru samagamam, Kuru punyam aho ratram shmara nityam anityatam. Chanaka Pandit's enlightening us. Give up the association of evil persons. Partake of the association of saintly persons. Perform pious duties day and night, and always remember the flickering nature of this world. Therefore, we so much need the association of our Diksha Guru and our Shiksha Gurus. They are ever well-wishers because they're reminding us of these things. The two things specifically, the futility of material life and the the positive alternative of Krishna consciousness. We have to hear again and again and again and again and again and again. The spiritual master helps us make the necessary adjustments as life goes on. And for that, we sometimes require his personal association. Although we see now, with my disciples, that we don't have so much personal association anymore. I noted that in many offerings it was coming out that, well, we're not traveling this year to all the temples, so we won't have those personal interactions with each other. But that's all right. Prabhupada did say that Vani is more important than Vapu. Vani means the instruction which we can always carry in our heart, and Vapu means the personal association, which may sometimes be there and it may sometimes not be there. Both are important, of course, but really, the Vani, the personification of the spiritual master instruction, that's the most important. I know I myself received a few personal instructions from Śrīla Prabhupāda, which I hold on to like dear life, and I cherish them. One time Prabhupāda wrote me a letter in response to a letter that I wrote him. It was mentioned today in the offerings. Prabhupāda, part of that letter, Prabhupāda said, "I have information from the local devotees that you are doing nicely in Krishna consciousness. So my request to you, Bhakta Brian, is you always follow the four regulative principles, you chant your 16 rounds, and you always follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees. And in due course of time, I will accept you as my duly initiated disciple." So that was an interesting instruction, because when we come up before our guru for initiation, like tomorrow some of you are going to take initiation, you're going to promise to chant 16 rounds. You're going to promise to follow the four regulative principles. Those are the vows that you're, according to tradition, you're obliged to make. But I thought it was interesting, Prabhupada gave the instruction, always follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees. And that's the reason that I requested both Charatma Prabhu, Giriraj Swami, and Bhadahari Prabhu specifically to come today, because I consider them my advanced Gaudiya. And by always keeping myself in their association, I'm following Prabhupada's order, and hopefully there's some progress there. I take the time every year to associate with my godbrothers, and I would like to request my disciples the same, like father, like son, as Prabhupada instructed me. Specifically, it was the 14th line down in the letter. To always follow in the footsteps of advanced devotees, you find some advanced devotees, whom you feel comfortable with, you like to hear from, and you associate, which means to serve them. That's why it was so painful to hear Giriraj Swami Maharaj speaking so nicely about, because I consider myself his servant, so when the master speaks like that, and our relationships with our God brothers and God sisters are just as important as our relationship with our spiritual master. Just as important as our relationship with Krishna. And how do we know that? Because Narottam Das Thakur tells us, he sings, Hari, Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita. Hari, God, Guru, the spiritual master, Vaishnava, the devotee, and then he says Bhagavata. He means devotee again. And then Gita, it's not Bhagavad Gita, it's Bhagavata, Gita. Bhagavata, advanced devotees, stressing so much. Because just as we understand Krishna by the mercy of our spiritual master, we understand our spiritual master and his desires and how to serve him in association of our God brothers and God sisters and other devotees. It's equally as important. Equally important. So we've taken that instruction from Śrīla Prabhupāda. 16 rounds, four principles, and always following in the footsteps of advanced devotees. And some progress has been there. One disciple said, but we're at disadvantage now. In the old days, they used to live in the ashram with the guru. No. Prabhupada said about his own Guru Maharaj, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So now times are moving on, and I'm only coming to one or two places, and I'm not going to come to your temples, and I'm not going to come to the home, and we're not going to have our moments of Harikatha and special kirtans and inquiries and asking about your lives. That may not be so much present as it was in the past, but that's okay, because the instruction is there. Just like Śrīla Prabhupāda. When Śrīla Prabhupāda first came to this country, he was alone, and he gave very much personal association to his disciples. In fact, he lived with one boy in an attic for several months, until that boy became crazy on drugs. And then Prabhupāda met the Mott Street boys, Umapati and Kirtanananda and a few others. And then he lived very intimately with them. And then Brahmananda Prabhu came and Gargamuni came, and Prabhupada was living with them and just talking about philosophy and Indian history and music. They had time to talk to Prabhupada about all these things connected to Krishna. It was so intimate. And then Prabhupada got invited by Mukunda Goswami to go to San Francisco. And when Prabhupada left New York City, Brahmananda said, they were in shock. He said, we never thought Prabhupada would ever leave New York City. We always thought he was just going to be Swamiji living with us at 26 Second Avenue, you know, giving his talks and us going out with a big drum and chanting Hare Krishna. That's what they thought. So things moved on. And then, how was Prabhupada associating with them and others? By letters. He was like typing out the letters himself and signing them and sealing them and sending them. And I came into the movement just at that end of that period where you could get a letter from Prabhupada. You get a personal letter from Prabhupada. And then that decreased because of the high volume of so many disciples coming. And then the letters were just going to the senior members of the movement, and you know, we were to be satisfied with just seeing Prabhupada once a year in Mayapur. But because so many important instructions were given at those particular, I remember when Prabhupada was speaking in Mayapur, it wasn't just the Chaitanya Charitamrita class, he was giving specific instructions to Sankirtan devotees on how to spread the movement and pushing it forward like this. So if we serve in separation the instruction, everything will come. It's a transcendental phenomenon. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says, to those who serve me with love and devotion, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So what does that mean? That means when Krishna sees that his devotee is nicely serving his representative, the spiritual master, Krishna blesses that devotee with the necessary qualifications for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Your guru may be here, he may be there, he may have left this world. But if Krishna sees you're nicely serving your spiritual master, he within the heart, tesham satadiya, he gives you all intelligence, he makes all arrangements for you to advance. And as Maharaj was saying, the relationship transcends even time and space, because we, as Prabhupada said, one day we'll all be together back in the spiritual world. We'll have our ISKCON in the spiritual world. The relationships will be there. And mysteriously, it appears that even the spiritual master can guide his disciples from beyond, as in the case of Bimal Mangal Thakur, who heard from Somagiri, his spiritual master, through the mouth of Chintamani. Bimal Mangal, if you put in the same energy to enjoy my body, if you put the same energy into becoming Krishna conscious, you would be a pure devotee overnight. And immediately the words penetrated all the deep ignorance of Bimal Mangal Thakur, who was born in a Saraswati Brahmin family, but by bad association had fallen away, by bad association. But the words of his guru through the mouth of the prostitute caused him on that very moment to turn his back on material existence and walk the road to Braj, to Vrindavan, which he did. And he lived there for 600 years, became a pure devotee. So the arrangements are made by the Lord, and we maintain that relationship eternally by following the instructions of our spiritual master. Of course, whenever we have the opportunity to have his personal association, whatever inconvenience is involved, whatever hardship, whatever money is necessary to be spent, we should do it. We should go the long distance, the extra mile, to have his association, because I was remembering the other day that for me, perhaps the most inspiring moments in my devotional life, the most precious moments, were those moments I spent with Srila Prabhupada. And when I think deeply of those moments, they carry me through all the different experiences that we have in Krishna consciousness, both the Vani and the Vapu. So while the Vapu is available, we should come long distance. We are spending time in Vrindavan every year, up on the patio of our bhajan kutir, night after night after night. We're giving the bhajans, and the lectures. That's another place where disciples and friends and well-wishers, we can congregate. We have these visits to the various countries, and we have Vrindavan, which is our home. What better place that we can associate? So please take advantage if you can. I do go there every year, and I stay in Braj. Harama Prabhu joins me, and I join Bhakti Priyanga Vinamaraj, and I join Giriraj Swami. We're there, our services to inspire you in devotional service. So please try to come. And thank you again for coming here. Be present at the celebration so I can check up on your progress. It was hard to hold back my tears, my emotions today. I tried as best I could because I was just so proud of you. So happy to see you making progress and to be reminded by your offerings again, through your offerings, of the qualities and the qualifications that I must develop in order to take you, my disciples, safely to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.